Thanks, music team. This is daunting. Hey, everybody. Welcome here today. Hey, come on this side, please, David. My name's Tim, if we haven't met yet, and I've invited my friend David up on stage today because God's doing a really neat thing in his life that I think could encourage our hearts today. So, David, David and I didn't know each other all that well, until recently when David joined the host team here on Sunday. So is that why it's echoey? Okay, so at 9 o'clock, usually you'd see David standing at the door greeting people as they come in and welcoming them. And I'm so thankful for that, David. And through that, getting to know each other through hosting, you've been sharing a little bit with me of what's going on in your life. So would you be able to share really quickly with everybody here what's new? What's God doing inside of you?
Well, let me first inform. Well,
yeah. It's okay.
First and foremost, say there was nothing of me because I've been so full of distractions for 2-3 weeks. And distractions come in the way I say, what can I do to say that will edify and build up David Graham to make me look better? And the answer is absolutely nothing. It was God who worked in me to begin a good work and to will and to do. It was God that opened my heart. It was God that made me thirsty and hungry because I walked the streets and I said, there has to be more. It was God that put his word in my heart and said, you know, a bruised reed he will not break, a smoldering wick he will not snuff out. And I felt I walked the streets as a smoldering wick. And I said, Lord, I feel so at odds. And I asked and I pleaded and I said, Spirit of God, come afresh. Reveal the Father's heart in Jesus Christ through your word. Kindle anew the flame in my heart and bring Jesus back into the throne of my heart where he rightfully belongs. Mm. And he did. And I sensed the Father's pleasure in doing that. He wanted to do it. He delighted in doing it. He lavished his love upon me in doing it. I was so overwhelmed that I'd walk the streets and I would look with the eyes of my spirit and see him beholden. And it was like a booster shot as I walked the street. I thought, ah, thank you, Father. I know you're there. I know you're with me. You've promised you would never leave me nor forsake me. Regardless of where I was, whether I'm walking in the quietness of a forest path, walking across a busy street, standing in my kitchen, and you know, night after night after night, I don't sleep very well. Nothing wrong with me. It's just I wake up in the wee hours of the morning, and I'm singing praises to God. And I thought, there's something wrong with me. I thought I was losing it.
That's really cool, David. I love, like, it started with that simple prayer, that desire. God, I want, there's got to be more of you, right?
God said that. He said, well, as I realized and I meditate on it, mm-hmm. He says, David, he says, you can read all the tomes and theology to your, fill your mind with it. Won't do you a bit of good until it moves into your heart. Mm-hmm. It has to reign. The words that mm-hmm. I write, Christ had to reign in my heart, mm-hmm. dwell there. Mm-hmm. And even still, he said to me, he says, but if you don't act on it and live it out, mm-hmm. it will only be a smoldering wick.
Yeah, that's awesome. Okay, we want to give glory to God for what he's doing. And David, yeah, yes, please. Thanks, David. I love just, thanks, David, for your willingness. I know you don't usually speak in front of people, but God's put a preacher in your heart, like I've told you before. It's so cool to hear testimony of what God's doing inside of him. And I love the line, as we were talking last week again, just he expressed this, Jesus was like in his head, but now with this new experience of God, he's moved to his heart. And that's the change that's been made within him. And I think that fits really well with our theme the last little while of living in renewal. That's what we want to see happen for some of us, our faith has been just up here, and by God's Spirit, he wants to take that and put it here where we can't help but be overwhelmed with the love of the Father for us. And we want to praise him wherever we're going. So today we're continuing our Living in Renewal series with part two of Living Prayerfully that I started last week, where if you were here last week, the big idea was prayer is more about relationship than results. Last week was all about who is it that we pray to, our Father in heaven. And the another big idea in there was that nothing is going to affect, have more of an effect on your prayer life, for better or for worse, than your conception of God. Than who it is when you go to pray, who is in your mind? Who do you think you're praying to? Nothing is going to affect your prayer more than who that is. And the reason I think that's really important is that some of us come to God, we view God more like we would a bureaucrat. So picture, if you are scheduling a meeting with a bureaucrat, somebody that's held in high regard that you know has limited time, limited resources, you're just going to get a little sliver of their time and you got to schedule it ahead of time. And when you show up to that meeting with this bureaucrat, you better keep your words really concise. You better make sure you're not trying to ask for too much, because really you're, in a sense, you're a bother to them. That is not how it is when we go before God, our Father, in prayer. He's got all the time in the world. He's got unlimited resources. There isn't a limit to how much he wants us to ask of him. He's our Father in heaven. He's not a bureaucrat or a dictator that we come to. So who we think we pray to changes everything. It shapes how we pray. It shapes what we pray for. And it even shapes how we respond when we don't get what we ask for. So today, where we're going, as I'm going to try and describe what a dynamic prayer life looks like. It's dynamic. It's not just one way. It's give and take. Here's where we're going. In prayer, God the Father, if he is your Father, he invites you to ask things of him. He invites you to come to him with your petitions, saying, Dad, I need this. Dad, I want this. And how he responds to that is up to him. But he will always give what's good. Okay, that's where we're going today. He invites us to ask of him, but the response is up to him, but we can trust that he always gives us what's good. So to do this today, if you have a Bible, I invite you to open it to Matthew chapter 7. So last week we were in Matthew chapter 6, and we looked at the Lord's Prayer. And today we're looking still in the Sermon on the Mount, but just a section or two later, actually in the book of Luke, when the Lord's Prayer is mentioned, this particular passage is directly connected to it. So this is a passage about asking our Father, and we're going to be looking about how God wants us to ask and also how he will always respond. So if you have a Bible, Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 to 11, I'm going to read it, and then I'll pray. Verse 7 to 11 says this. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, it will be opened. Or which one of you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Okay, there's a connection to the Lord's Prayer. Remember, give us this day our daily bread. It's what the son asked the father. And here it says, which one of you, if the son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who's in heaven give good things to those who ask him? The word of the Lord today. Father, I thank you for the work that you're doing in David's heart as he shared with us. And I know that you want to do a work in each of our hearts. And I pray that today, as we hear and listen to and receive your word, that you would give us hearts that desire to act on it. I pray that our perception of you would expand today and our boldness in prayer would expand today. We give you this next little while to use for your purposes. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So there you have it. God the Father, according to this passage, welcomes our asking. He welcomes are asking. It says, ask, seek, knock. Three verbs. Three verbs, and in the Greek, they're all in present active tense, which means it's a continuous asking. What Jesus is saying is you can come before the Father and ask him, seek things from him, knock, and the door will be open. Do it persistently. Do it continuously, he's saying. We have invitation not just to come to him once, but to keep coming to God in prayer, asking him to do something. So we need to understand here that it isn't selfish to ask things of God. Some of us, I think, we feel like it's selfish to say, God, I need this, or God, I want this. But it isn't. Maybe it isn't selfish. Maybe it's just the thing that kids are to do with their parents, no? I don't know if you've had parents in the house, I mean, kids in the house. If you ever have, you know they come to you with everything, right? It can be overwhelming sometimes, the amount of things that they ask you for. Daddy, I want tech time. Daddy, can I play video games today? Can I have some candy? Can I... And it can be incessant, it can be nonstop, because kids know that they have access to their parents and that their parents are okay hearing their wants and their needs. And here, Jesus tells us that we can come to the Father just like that. We're not bothering him. He's there, he wants to hear. We can pray persistently without giving up. Just because he might say no for one thing today doesn't mean you can't ask for the same thing tomorrow. Persistence. So for us today, for you sitting here, is there something that you need today? Is there something that you've had your heart set on? Don't be afraid to ask your daddy. Don't be afraid to bring it to God in prayer. He welcomes it. There's an amazing passage in Philippians chapter 4 where the Apostle Paul says this. He says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God will reign in your hearts. Present your request to God. The Apostle Paul tells us the same thing Jesus says here. God welcomes our requests. If there's something that you need or want, bring it to your Father. And this passage is actually interesting because Paul connects anxiety with prayer. And he says, when you bring things that are making you anxious to God, your Father, you can let go of them and his peace will then reign in your heart. Connecting, maybe the reason some of us are so anxious is because we're trying to hang on to everything. And what we're invited to do is present it to God and then we'll experience his peace. Another passage that says a similar thing is in James chapter 4, verse 2, that says, you do not have because you do not ask. You do not ask. It's okay to bring your petitions before God. And what this passage in James tells us is that maybe there's things that God really wants to give you that he's just waiting for you to ask for. Because sometimes parents do that, right? Sometimes when their kids come and say, hey, Dad, can I have this? The answer is yep. Sometimes when a kid comes before their father and says, hey, can I have this? The answer is not right now. Sometimes it's, I've just been waiting to give you that. I've been waiting for you to ask. So do you need food? Do you need an affordable car to drive to work? Do you need healing? Maybe physical, emotional, spiritual. Do you need a miracle in your relationship? Do you need wisdom to know how best to parent your kids? Do you need grace to be able to pour out love on that coworker that's just so annoying? Whatever it is, bring it to God in prayer. Ask him to give it to you. Do it boldly. There's nothing too big or too small that a child can't come to their father with that request. Is there anything that you've been hesitating to ask God for? Maybe it's a dream that he's put in your mind that you're afraid to act on or you're afraid to ask him to do something with. My prayer today is that you will see he is welcome. Remember last week, the prodigal father? As he runs to your kids, that's who you come to pray for, and he just says, hey, tell me what you need. So don't hesitate to come to God, big things or little. I could testify, as many of you could, of times where you've maybe asked something of God that you thought was too tiny to waste his time. Maybe you were too afraid to come to him because you're like, he doesn't really care about that. That just seems like a teeny request. I only need to bring my big ones to him. But I could tell you time and time again where God has surprised me with the fact that he cares even about the little things that I ask him and the big things. And that should make us want to come to him with boldness and confidence, knowing that he cares about these things even more than we do. He knows that we need them before we even ask him, but he waits sometimes for us to ask him. Okay, you may have noticed in this text it says, ask and you will receive, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be open. A fair question of that is to say, is this text, is Jesus guaranteeing that God will give us everything that we ask for? Right? It seems to say that. Ask and you will receive. He's going to give you whatever you ask for. Is this a blank check? If you ask him for a Lambo, a Lamborghini, is he going to give it to you? If you ask him for a house, does this text say he's going to give it to you? If you ask him for a spouse, some of you single guys, is he going to give it to you? It sounds like that's what he's saying, but I think what he's actually saying here, when we dig a little deeper, here's my interpretation of this. I hope it's right. Is that we will always receive what we ask God for in prayer if what we ask for is what he wants to give us. I'm going to say that again. We will always receive what we ask for in prayer if what we ask for is exactly what he already wants to give us. There's this idea here of we have a will and God has a will. And if whatever we ask him for if our will aligns with his will, that's where our prayers are answered. And the reason that I think this is so, that this is what's in Jesus' mind when he makes this guarantee, is because in the Lord's Prayer, just a little bit earlier on, Jesus says to pray, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So the beginning of the Lord's Prayer is about realigning our hearts to who it is we pray to and about realigning our wills to God's will. Notice we pray, God, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, which means your will, not my will. When we pray at the beginning, it's about submitting what we want to God's wants and saying, God, your will is more important to me than my own. Let my prayers be shaped by your will. In that way, when you start asking for those things, you'll find it's exactly what he wants to give you, and that's where you will receive what you ask for in prayer. Make sense? So living prayerfully is about asking, and then it's about trusting that God will give us what's good, trusting him with the answer, with the response. Second big idea is he'll give you good. The first was that God the Father welcomes your asking, and the second is he'll give you what is good. Let me reread verse 11 for you. It said, or if he asks, if you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who's in heaven give good things to those who ask him? So he's saying an earthly dad, even though he's evil, he's not perfect. He doesn't always have the best intentions. An earthly dad, if his child asks for something good, isn't going to give him something bad. And then it says, how much more so your heavenly Father, if you ask him for something good, how much more so will he not give you something bad? He will give you something that is good. You can take that to the bank. So if you're a parent here or you've had experience with kids, you know that there's been times where your children have come to you with a request, right? They're allowed to ask for anything and everything. There's been times where you've not given them what they asked for, right? There's times where parents don't always give their kids everything that they ask for. So last week was Halloween, right? My children, like a lot of children, went around trick-or-treating, knocking on neighbors' doors, taking all the candy that they would give them, coming home with a big, giant bag of candy, and they sit it on the floor, and of course that night they want to eat the whole thing, right? Dad, can I have some chocolate? Can I eat some of this candy? And it's like 8 or 8:30, And of course, my answer is no. That's a terrible idea. You'll never sleep if I let you eat all of that candy tonight. They think it's a great idea. I think it's a terrible idea. So I say no. And then they have to try and understand where I'm coming from with my no. Because they receive the no as disappointment, or I'm trying to keep something good from them, right? But really, I have their best interest at heart, and they're not always able or willing to try and see things from my vantage point, right? They have to process their disappointment. What to do with the no? Right? Sometimes with my kids, yours maybe too, maybe they throw a hissy fit, or you've seen all kinds of reactions to kids not getting what they ask for. Well, there's also times where you and I have asked things of God, and his answer's been no. And we've had to process it. It's really hard. It's really hard. You can probably think of times in your life where you've come to your Father and you've asked him, you've pleaded with him for something good, and you haven't received it. I know there's been lots of those times in my life. Times where an uncle was sick, and we kept going to God in prayer, trusting that he would heal him, yet we had to bury him. There were times where I prayed about a dream job. This was a long time ago. And they went with someone else. And you wrestle through that disappointment. There was a time in our life where we wanted nothing but to be able to bear children. And we asked God, open my wife's womb. And he didn't. And in all of those times, you're sitting there saying, why, God? Now what? What do I do with this? Isn't that what you wanted? I thought that's what you wanted. These moments, just like Jamie talked about a few weeks ago with trials and suffering, when we face those difficulties, this is in a similar category. When you pray and you ask God for something and he doesn't give it to you, you face a fork in the road. It's just like this. There's two directions that you can go. The one is going to lead to anger, bitterness, numbness, disillusionment. And the other is going to lead to life. So on the one hand, when you face pain and grief and the loss and unmet hopes, all of these things, when you're sitting in the anguish of unanswered prayer in the way that you asked for when it was something big, this is exactly when the enemy swoops in and says, see, I told you, God doesn't really love you. You've done too many bad things for him to answer that thing. He doesn't really care about you. See, I told you. You were dumb to think that he might even answer that thing. He's not for you, he's actually against you. These are the kinds of lies that the enemy feeds into our mind when we are vulnerable and facing grief and loss. And when we take those things that the enemy says and we internalize them and we begin to believe them, it leaves us down a bad path. Alternatively, when we're sitting there in the pain of unmet expectation, we can draw near to God and we can trust that he's a good dad and that he wants to give us good, that daddy knows best, that daddy knows best, even though we don't fully understand why, right? Those kinds of things, we will never fully understand why. We can look back a little bit. Now for me, years later, I can see that my uncle that we prayed for his healing when he had ALS, I know that he did get healing. God did answer that prayer. It was just in eternity, not on earth, like I was hoping for. God always does answer our prayers, I believe. So this is a quote. Tim Keller says this. He says, God will either give us what we ask for in prayer, or he'll give us what we would have asked for if we knew what he knows. Do you like that play on words? When we pray, we can be sure that God is going to give us what we ask for. He'll either give it to us as we ask him or as he knows we would have prayed if we knew what he knows. God has a vantage point that we don't. Just like me with my kids, being able to see candy before bed wouldn't be a good thing. So question, are you at this fork in the road this morning? Have you faced unmet expectations and you're angry and bitter towards God? Has he let you down? And now you don't want to come to him anymore because that skewed your perspective. Are you believing the lies of the enemy? I pray that his spirit will start doing a work of softening in your heart and will allow you to trust that God is who he said he is and that he will always give good, just like his word says here. There'll be times when we don't understand God's answer and we just need to trust that he loves us and that he'll always give us what's best. So what's a dynamic prayer life? It's about asking and it's about trusting. It's about asking, it's about trusting. On your way in today, you received communion elements. Could you please grab them? Grab them in your hand, get them ready. These elements that you received on the way in today remind us of God's love and of God's faithfulness, that he is trustworthy. I want you to think about how God's love is seen in what these elements represent. These remind us that God loves us and that he will always give us good. Why? Because of the cross. Because of the cross of Jesus. Guaranteed, God loves us and will always give us what is good. Why? Because on the cross, God withheld his love from his son, and he laid on his son the crushing weight of our sin. He rejected his son Jesus on the cross so that we could be accepted as his beloved children. So that when we go to God in prayer, we know that he's a dad who loves us and who wants to give us good things. So please open the clear part of the thing. If you haven't done these before, there's two layers of film on the top. Please open the clear part, and that'll expose the wafer. If you haven't shared communion with us in this form, you need to know ahead of time these wafers are nasty. Okay? Really, they taste gross. But that's not what it's about, is it? So today, I want you to take the gross taste of this wafer and let it remind you of the bitterness and nastiness of your sin that made the cross necessary. Okay? So you're holding in your hands this wafer that represents Jesus' body that was battered and bruised for you. Let's take and eat this together. Now I invite you to take the purple film off. To expose the juice. Be careful, because they can make a mess. If you're wearing light trousers, watch out. So this juice represents Jesus' blood that was poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. This blood, or this juice, as we symbolically remember, the blood reminds us of God's new covenant of love with us, assures us of his forever love for us, that our sin was no longer going to keep us away from God because Jesus' blood atoned for our sin. It got rid of what divided us. It made restored relationship possible. As we drink this cup, let's remember Jesus' sacrifice. Father, I thank you for these elements and what they represent. I thank you that you so desired a restored relationship with fallen humanity, with us, that you devised a plan before the creation of the world to win us back by the blood of your Son, Jesus. And Jesus came and he lived the perfect life that we couldn't, and he died the death that we should have, so that we could be called your beloved children, assuring us, God, that whatever we ask for in your name, that we will receive it. You've already given us the ultimate good, right relationship with you. I pray that the cross would motivate us, would fuel our faith to remind us that you do love us and you will never leave us or forsake us, so that we can come to you with bold prayers. And we can also trust that whatever the answer is that we receive, that it's good, that you see things that we don't. So God, now, after we've received these elements, we want to sing to you. We want to give you praise and thank you through song. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
I'd like to invite you to stand.